Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I was just telling my next guest, it's hard to believe it's been almost 2 years since his last appearance on our program, but author Brian Vandale has definitely been busy in that time, and proof of that is his new book released this year, Famous After Death. We're going to talk to Brian not only about the journey to writing the new book, but what it's been like for him to really take a lot of aspects of what's going on in our real world and be able to include them in his novel as well. If you're just now hearing about Brian, we'll tell you all a little bit later how you can get to this book, as well as stay connected with him as well. But Brian, hello to you, and welcome back to the program.
Hi, Cyrus. It's great to be back. I hope you're doing great today.
Yeah, doing really good. I cannot complain, and congratulations to you. I know you're doing well because of the new book, and as I was saying to you before we went live here, you know, congratulations to you not only on Famous After Death, but also, of course, you know, on the reviews that are already starting to come in. I mean, what has this experience been like for you, Brian? Because when you were on our program back in 2013, we were discussing your book Mute at the time, and we talked even in that conversation about how, of course, your background as a journalist, you know, kind of played a part, you know, into your, you know, you're delving into that book. What has it been like for you to especially see how it has come to play for you in the new book?
It's been really cool to interact with the people who are reading my books. I had a signing at Books and Books in the Miami area on Monday. I had a really nice crowd, had a lot of questions. They were really kind of thrilled to hear me read it. It's very different to read the book and then to hear the author actually read it with his voices of the characters. So that was fun. A lot of them wanted me to make this an audio book, and maybe I should because of the reading. And you know, I'm a journalist at the South Florida Business Journal, and this was exciting for me because I set the novel in South Florida, and I used a lot of local locations around Miami. And it was great to, you know, bring the scenery into play.
Right. You know, it's interesting. You know, I know a lot of work goes into, you know, writing any book. But for Famous After Death, I'm curious. I mean, it was released this year. When did you first have the seed planted for you, Brian, that this was a book that you wanted to write?
I started working on it in 2010. And I had the initial idea of I wanted to write a story about teenagers who were putting their crimes on the internet to get attention for it. And I knew this was beginning to happen, and I wanted to kind of understand, well, these are going to be teenagers who are smart enough to do it anonymously. And then real life kind of beat me to the punch on it. It started, you had a freshman at Rutgers jump to his death after his roommate filmed him making out with another man, and he put the video on his Facebook page to bully him. And there was a column by Leonard Pitts in the Miami Herald that wrote about, you know, how people are using the internet to bully people and to kind of to trash them here, and, you know, to kind of bring out the ugliness in them, and that kind of stuck with me, and I thought, wow, that's kind of the point of my novel, to show how people are using social media in the wrong way and for bullying. And then in 2013, you had an incident in Miami where Derek Medina killed his girlfriend and posted her corpse on Facebook. And then he basically posted, "Hey, I killed my wife."
Right.
And that was kind of another example. And I just kind of seen all these different crimes that are being kind of glorified on social media. And so my story was, you know, and this is happening as I was writing it. And so my story was to show, you know, what happens if the kids aren't stupid, if they aren't caught immediately, if they're smart enough to do it in one way they're anonymous. And it kind of gets at that thing of juvenile delinquency, of kind of what you feel is a prank, but really becomes dangerous for someone, and not really understanding the consequences of what you're doing until something bad happens.
Exactly. And, you know, it's so timely, and that's why I wanted to ask you in the beginning of this conversation, Brian, when the seed was planted, because I know, so much work goes into writing a book like this, and I think anyone reading this book in 2015 will say, wow, I mean, this book could have easily been written this year. Do you think that has been part of the connection that readers are feeling? Of course, they are, like all of us these days, we're all on the Internet, we all are kind of bombarded with these things. I know I end up having to hide more posts than I would care to from friends of mine on social media that are posting things that I don't think are appropriate, to be able to post that I don't want to see. I mean, do you think that the timing was just perfect for a book like this to be written and for a conversation to be had about it, even as it is written as fiction?
Yeah, I think now is the time. I mean, as I started, it started evolving and seeing how it's being used. It's just used increasingly that way. I mean, if I turn on my Twitter feed and I see what's going down, there's like, oh my God, I'm following that person. I better unfollow them. What are they doing?
Right.
People are posting crazy things. And I think it really gets at what do you do? How are people using social media? It can be used for great things. It can be used to spread revolutions. It can be used to spread messages about, social justice and civil rights. It can also be used to spread the ideology of terrorism and to glorify, violence in a way we don't want it to be spread. So I think this should get people thinking of it, and it especially should get people thinking of, as their teenagers, their kids start to use social media, what are they seeing and how will they behave? What will they know to put online? What will they understand? You shouldn't put that online.
Because exactly.
I know when I was a kid, I didn't have that, and I certainly wouldn't have been prepared for what it would mean to have all the stupid things you do as a teenager put online.
Exactly. And I think that is, again, a thing that all of us can kind of appreciate. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Excited to welcome back to our program today, Brian Bendel. We're talking to him not only about his new book, Famous After Death, but also what it's been like for him to use his own background and then, of course, world events to be able, I think, to not only entertain us in this book, but also, I think, to get us thinking a little bit. There was something that I was not expecting that comes up in this book, Brian, and that was the family element. Did you know going in that you wanted to make these young people more than just savage, that you wanted to kind of show the human side of them by letting us see a part of their family?
Yeah, I thought it was important to understand why all of them, they got into a situation where they were juvenile delinquents, where they wanted to play pranks on people online and, not really caring if the people got hurt. And this doesn't happen randomly. There's a reason. So the lead character, Jorge, he's very much a loner. He's trying to make friends. He's kind of wears big black trench coats in Miami that doesn't fit in. And his mother is sort of OCD. And so he's trying to get attention from the other boys. He wants to use his intelligence online to try and act like he's cool and fit in. And Kelso is from a wealthy family where his father is a motocross star, and his younger brother is really kind of the big guy in the family because he's a great skater. He's a better skater than Kelso, so his brother always kind of finishes first, and Kelso is like, finishes distant. And so he's trying to kind of show that, he's a man, that he can get a lot of hits from his videos. Well, he feels like his brother, he's been kind of passed over for his brother. And then Chris, who acts kind of, in a very kind of a mean way towards everybody. He's kind of from a broken home where his father left. His father left his mother and, started a modeling agency, and he's with all the models. And so he kind of feels that anger inside, that his family is broken, and he's kind of angry at both parents and kind of wants to take it out on everybody else. So I felt it was really important to tell that story, to show kind of a reason why. These aren't kids that are struggling, to eat, that don't have money, that are on the street or everything. And a lot of times it might be that kind of person who's middle class. They have a comfortable home, but there's something going on in their family that kind of makes them angry at the world.
Exactly. I think that is the thing. I think the other thing about that, what you just mentioned, is that it makes us remember that they are just like us and how, like us, what separates us are the decisions that they make and realizing the impact of those decisions. Do you think that is one of the big things to take away from this book, Brian, that, I mean, that we're really, these people we hear about on the news who do these horrendous things, the only things that separates us from them are the decisions that they're making every day?
Yeah, and I think and a lot of times as teenagers, we don't understand the decisions, you know, because a lot of this came out from, you know, when I was a teenager, I did a lot of pranks and a lot of stupid things. And, you know, as a teenager, you don't think what's going to happen when you're doing a prank, you know, like in Famous After Death, when they dangle a blow up doll in the road, you know, at night and want to see what happens when a car hits it. They're only thinking about, well, won't it be funny when the car hits the blow up doll, you know, and the blow up doll goes flying. They don't necessarily think, well, you know, what if it causes an accident, you know, or what if the car stops and then the guys in the car have a gun and they're angry at me for it, you know, because, you know,
right,
there's a lot of road rage incidents. People, not everyone has a sense of humor, you know.
Right.
So they, you know, they just don't think. They just think, I want to get some laughs. And that's kind of the problem here. And the other situation is, you know, when I was a teenager, we didn't have camera phones, but now we do. And so anything you do, it could be picked up, you know, by you, by your friends, by other people who are bystanders, and, you know, has a long lasting impact on you. And I just think a lot of teenagers, it takes a while until you mature and you understand, you know, the consequences of your actions, you know, and I think a lot of that's the point of the story here.
And I think, Brian, for a lot of people, when it comes to, you know, looking at their own lives, it makes us really, I think, more empathetic. I know for myself, when I was reading Famous After Death, you know, the empathy definitely comes through because you have these characters like Chris, and, you know, you think, wow, you know, if they just knew that they could be so much more, that this was not the only way. I think that is the other thing. And I think respect also, you know, goes into it. I also love the fact that you're able to show the other side, Brian, and that is the law enforcement and how they grapple with it, especially when it comes to OC. I mean, how important was that for you to do, and able to, when you're crafting this story, to be able to give us the other side to let us see what they're dealing with when it comes to not only, of course, crime, but also dealing with the future of these young people?
Yeah, I think an important part from the law enforcement perspective, I wanted to show the frustration when people online are celebrating, you know, the violence that's being put out there, and the law enforcement is trying to protect them against it. So, you know, they're here, they're trying to catch these anonymous posts, and at the same time, people are online, they're making fun of the people who are dying, you know, they're, you know, and at some point, the violence kind of comes to the family and friends of the law enforcement. And then they're making fun of their family and friends, you know, in the videos, and it just gets them, like, you know, we're trying to protect you. Why are we being ridiculed here?
Right.
And so, and I also wanted, to get into the personal situations to show that they weren't only police officers, that they had personal lives, that they had families, and then that had a big impact on, you know, their mindset as they were doing their jobs.
Right, right. I think there is also the great thing that you did about the questioning. I actually quoted the book in my review on Amazon, you know, where you talk about there's that one scene with OC leaving a hospital, Brian, and I'm sure you remember the scene I'm talking about, and when OC is looking at the lights and the stars, and there's that great line where, you know, OC is basically thinking, you know, there are, you know, countless people out there, but only a few that are bright lights. I mean, so it was important for you then to be able to showcase then those bright lights in the world and to show that all was not lost, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there are certain people you meet that have a real profound impact on you, you know, and you never really know when you'll run into those people or where they are in the crowd. And that was kind of, I think, what she was looking for, you know, in her life. You know, she kind of dropped out of college after she had an abusive boyfriend, and she became a police officer, and she just kind of couldn't find the right relationship for a long time, and she became, like, just kind of sheltered herself by being sort of the ultimate tomboy, being tough and, you know, and drinking and kind of being a little bit too intimidating for a lot of guys, and so it kind of, she just kind of felt like she, at some point, she had the hope she reached the right person who she could connect with, and she could let her guard down. She didn't need to put on a persona of trying to be tough and trying to like and trying to be strong. She could just kind of be herself.
Right, and I think that is it. And I think, again, another great thing to be able to take away from the book, as you've been doing interviews for Famous After Death, Brian, as well as, of course, being able to speak with the fans, as you were talking about the book event you have, I mean, does that kind of bring the, you know, the continual joy for you? It's one thing for you to do what you love when it comes to writing, but has that joy extended in being able to actually talk about it with the readers?
Oh, absolutely. I love being able to discuss it with them, and I think the issue is hit home with a lot of them because they see it every day when they go on social media, and it definitely concerns them. This is kind of a novel where it's you can kind of see something like this happening in real life.
And I think, again, that is one of the great things about doing what you do as a storyteller. What about being able to inspire others who want to go down this journey, Brian? I mean, I know you've had them reach out to you, you know, say, you know what, you know, I've always had the story in me. What has it been like for you to show them by your example, you know, what they can do?
In terms of writing a book?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's been great because I actually, a couple months ago, I went to Boca Raton and they had I gave a seminar for middle school students on writing novels. And they actually bussed in the middle school students from all over Palm Beach County. They had some that came from kind of the Belglade Lake Belt area near Lake Okeechobee. And that was really cool. You know, I kind of talked to them about my step-by-step process for outlining a book and creating characters and setting a plot. And that was great because I felt from the questions in the room they were really interested in the writing process and how to write. I just want to let people know that it's possible. I mean, I'm a journalist. I'm working all the time. I have three kids. So you still have to get time, even if it might take you a few years to finish the novel. Just keep plugging away at it, you know. People might get, you know, yell at you and say, you know, what are you doing in there? Why do you keep writing? But, you know, when it comes out, it's rewarding, and I feel like, you know, I did something that's amazing that I can be proud of.
Exactly. Well, you definitely have with this new book as well. Really enjoyed it, Brian, as well as the conversation about it. Again, everyone, Brian Bendel has been our guest today. The new book is Famous After Death. Make sure you guys get it for yourself. It is available through our friends at Amazon.com. But, Brian, how can our listeners stay connected with you and keep up with what's coming up next for you?
Well, you could always follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Bandell. That's B-A-N-D-E-L-L. And my blog is brianbandell.blogspot.com. And also, if you're heading to Miami for the Miami International Book Fair in November, you should really consider it. It's the country's largest book fair. Thousands of people, tens of thousands, really go to downtown Miami for it. And there's a tremendous amount of name brand authors. So even if you're out of state and if you love books, it's worth coming to. I'm going to be speaking at the Miami International Book Fair on November 22nd. So it's worth a trip, not just for me, but really for all the authors that are going to be there.
Right. I think that is great. So make sure you guys take advantage of that. Stay connected with Brian for sure online through his Facebook and Twitter pages, as well as, of course, get his new book, Famous After Death. Brian, again, congratulations to you on the new book, and thank you so much for the conversation. Really appreciate you stopping back by.
Joe, this was wonderful. I had a great time talking to you. I really appreciate you paying attention to authors. What you're doing is a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Brian, for sure. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. You can also find the link on our Facebook and Twitter pages at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or head over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. I was told that there was a brief silence there for our online audience. It's probably because we're getting a pretty big storm here in Mississippi, if you can believe it, and some much-needed rain. So we do apologize if we were cutting out a little bit during the conversation with you guys. I think they were probably having problems with the power. Until next time, though, I'm Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.